Today's episode of Who Weekly is brought to you by The CW. Watch new episodes of Superman and Lois on Tuesdays at 9, 8 central or stream free next day on The CW app.
You will say that.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And these were Sunday night's Golden Globes, the 2021 Golden Globes in a nutshell.
As you can see, we unfortunately have a bad connection. We apologize for that technical problem and send all of our congratulations to Daniel on his Golden Globe win.
This was immediately followed by Daniel getting his sound back and then giving his speech anyway.
The first award had a problem. You got it. Like, they didn't even...
The first award. Although, I mean, again, he got to give a speech, which is good. Thank God. That wouldn't have been a disaster.
Of course.
But to see Laura Dern's earnest response of being like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And then kind of like getting her composure back and then reading the prompter. Like, even she was like, honestly, are you kidding me?
Is there truly nothing more relatable than technical difficulties? I will say, though, watching this did, for the first time in pandemic, whatever, I had a hard time watching Zoom. Like, it affected mm-hmm. me. I was like, this is not fun to watch. Nobody wants to watch this.
We shouldn't be doing this anymore. We shouldn't be doing this anymore.
It's tiring. The same reason I think. It felt like I was at a meeting, you know, like I was like, they were watching me also. And I, you know.
Especially because I feel like the celebrities, it was truly the most celebrities are just like us moment of the pandemic, like
truly.
Where things were going wrong. They were in weird rooms of their houses. Like, I was a little disappointed in celebrities who didn't just like overdo it. Like, give me the glam moment. I don't need to see Jeff Daniels'
right, like,
doors.
Drop a green
you know?
Screen, baby, and give me some background, you know, like
give me something nice.
Do some shtick, you know, like you had Jeff Daniels in a guest room. There were 14 doors behind him. People were like, what are those? All closets? It was weird.
Who was on his bed? Someone was just on his bed.
Somebody
and I was
just
like,
on
come
his
on. Come on. Like, I get that maybe you're trying to be relatable and folksy, but these are the Golden Globes. Like, go ham. We have to recap a little bit in terms of who stuff. Emily in Paris won nothing, which is nice.
Thank
it
God.
Won nothing. We talked about when we kind of joked that Netflix, you know, paid them in champagne and sent them to Paris and then James Corden was in the tub. Yeah, we were joking, but it seems that now people know that that's really what happens, which is nice. It's nice that people know that that's what really happens with the Golden Globes. It's pay to play. It's fine.
So there's a difference between the things that people were complaining about the Globes that are like these kind of, you know, years long issues that they've had. The main issue that people were kind of talking about last night was that it's not a diverse group of people. It is mm-hmm. a group of people from all around the country, but it's actually not a diverse group of people. And so that was the thing that came up the most. They apologized for it. Actors brought it up in their speeches, which I thought was really commendable for some of them, you know, to say like, let's try better next year. Like, I know we're all here, kind of here, quote unquote, yeah. here, but let's try better. But then the pay to play, because those are to me those are two separate issues that kind of got mixed together. It was like, oh, the Golden Globes is a fraud. It's pay to play and it's and it's not diverse. And it's like, OK, well, those are one thing like they are not going to work on and one thing they are going to work on. And I'll tell you what they're not going to work on. Pay to play. They do not give a shit. They will take Netflix's trips. They will take they do not care that, you know, now all of a sudden that they do that shit. They've been doing it for years. It is part of the gig. These are journalists. They don't get benefits like this. They need to take them where they can get them, you know?
It's just going to be a more diverse selection of journalists who are willing to accept bribes to vote.
Great. That's all that we ask for. That is all that we ask for.
Baby steps, okay? Baby steps. We don't have to go through every winner, but I thought it was interesting that we got two prestige shoes in some of the big acting categories, Rosamund Pike and Andra Day. Both won?
There wasn't a Best New Artist, but there was a few prestige who snuck their way into the winner's circle, mm-hmm. just getting snuck in. I mean, there was Rosamund Pike, who was in the I Care A Lot movie, which actually, even though considering it's on Netflix, I'm not sure a lot of people are giving a care about that movie, to be honest. I didn't love it. You liked it. I didn't like it.
I liked it. I think she's just, I mean, I understand why she won, and I can understand why Andra Day won too. Like, you're in a biopic. You're playing a person.
And Andra Day, even though that movie didn't get amazing reviews, I haven't seen it yet, but playing Billie Holiday, she got amazing reviews as the star of that movie.
And when you're singing as well, that always works in your favor, especially with it, when it's the Globes and it's like, you're not necessarily convinced that they watched the things they're voting for.
Oh, no. They just saw her sing and they said, oh, she does such a good job. Oh, my God. It's Billie Holiday. Like, they just were impressed by her.
Look at Rosamund Pike's haircut. Ooh, look at her severe, angry haircut.
Well, you can't compare these two because they're not. Carolot was not a biopic. Like,
no.
You know, the other one, United
but
States
people,
versus
a lot of
Billie
people
Holiday.
Hated that movie. A lot of people hated I Care a Lot. Right.
But I think I Care a Lot was like giving Rosamund Pike the Globe for Gone Girl or something, because it was a very Gone Girl, like, she played to her strengths, which is like that kind of, I don't know,
I see,
it's similar to me, the character was similar to me, she loves to play like an American who's bad or something, like, you know,
a beautiful devil.
Then Andra Day, who I think people, because she had that song Rise Up,
which,
so that was her big first moment,
which Joss Stone sang as the sausage and chips.
Do not,
just a couple of weeks
do
ago.
Do not take away from it. So Andra Day had that song Rise Up, which is a big hit. I didn't know that she was like going into acting until acting. I don't know if she was acting before, but I just knew her as a singer. And then she's playing Billie Holiday in this biopic. People are talking about it.
Like, yeah, I always thought of her as a singer, and I think this is her first breakthrough into acting, which is cool. And now she's a winner.
Pastoral scene of the gallant South, the bulging eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck.
And then we had a few more. And then we had a few more who's, because we'd had the what do they call them now? Golden Globe ambassadors.
Well, it's weird because like, did he even show up on screen? Like, I missed him completely. If he was on the TV,
if the Lee children were on the screen, I never once saw them.
I know, but they talked about them in the press. Like, they got tabloid coverage. They got the you know, Spike Lee's kids, Satchel, and was it just Satchel and Jackson?
Satchel and Jackson. Yeah, it's both of them.
They
and
were
so
the ambassadors, the Golden Globe ambassadors.
Exactly. And I only saw coverage of this like elsewhere. I didn't. If they ever came on stage, maybe they were like masked like the Ernst & Young people. Like, I never saw them do anything. So
maybe they were like, let's tone down the nepotism in our production. But what's funny is they picked like two cool. I mean, yes, they're Spike Lee's kids. Of course, they're fucking cool. But like, they picked like two cool kids, you know, to do this.
Yeah, it's not like the Stallone sisters, who, like, we truly don't care about. I mean, it seems like these two are following in their father's footsteps in terms of, like, becoming artists,
excuse you,
filmmakers.
Sistine and the other one are following in their father's footsteps by becoming models.
How exactly?
And podcast hosts. They host a podcast called, like, Sisters or something like that.
From Podcast One, this is Unwaxed.
Get in, loser. We're going shopping.
With Sophia and Sistine Stallone.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. The thing I noticed here in the New York Times profile of Satchel and Jackson.
Lee.
Oh, quick thing about Satchel. I was like, I wonder if she's named after the baseball player that Ronan Farrow is named after. And it turns out she is. So Ronan Farrow and Satchel Lee are both named after the same baseball player, Satchel Paige. I believe. I don't know anything about baseball, but yeah, they're both named after the same person.
Well, Ronan doesn't go by Satchel, but Satchel is Ronan's birth name. Yeah.
But this thing I noticed in the New York Times story that I didn't know about, I think it might be new simply because I don't ever remember this being a thing. Here's a quote. The ambassadors each get a $25,000 grant to donate to an organization of their choice. Jackson Lewis Lee, 23, the first black man ever to be an ambassador, has chosen Big Brothers and Big Sisters of America. So,
I mean, okay, great. Use some of that. Take some of that money you're spending on first class tickets to Paris and give it to charity, you know?
Meanwhile, well, they're not spending the money on first class tickets to Paris.
Netflix is. I know. That's true. Sorry. Netflix That's not is. How PR works. You're right.
Satchel Lee will be giving everyone a James Corden in their tub. Oh, right. What a charitable event. What else happened at the Globes that was interesting? Anything?
Who won the song, the best song? I missed this one, too.
Oh, it was the Diane Warren song. It was the song from
Diane Warren won a Golden Globe and I missed it?
It was that Italian song that she, I don't know what.
Did she fly in? Did they drop her in from a helicopter? She's like, I won!
It was that Netflix, it's the Netflix movie starring Sophia Loren that I think no one watched. That was like a big deal because it's like, wow, Sophia Loren is in a Netflix movie. And then everyone was like, I don't want to watch this. The Life Ahead. Have you seen this?
No, but that is just so depressing. I haven't even seen.
You should play a clip of the song because I have not.
It's funny
that
it's called
song.
Scene because it's like not seen. Like no one saw. Like seen, not. You know, like didn't see.
Nessuno ci crede, ma io sì.
Oh, here's what happened. Here's what happened.
What?
Diane Warren wrote it in English, and then it had to be translated into Italian.
Oh, love that for her.
So Diane Warren was like, I'm going to write a song called Scene. And then an Italian translator was like, okay, thanks. We'll take it from here. So,
but she won.
I don't know. That's what happened. Yeah, she won. Willoughby nominated for an Oscar. Will she finally win her Oscar?
Unclear. Oh, probably not. You're saying not? Probably not.
I think she's probably not. I think probably not.
It's just funny. Probably not.
I think probably not.
I could see the Oscars giving it to Andra Day. I feel like it's like a great. I didn't know there was an original song that she wrote with Rafael Sadiq in the movie, The United States versus Billie Holiday. Mm-hmm. It's always interesting to me when they put an original song in a movie that's about a singer who it's not their song, you know, to get nominated because like, obviously they can't get nominated for like a Billie Holiday song. They have to like put a new song in, but it has to sound like Billie Holiday or, you know, it has to be adjacent or something.
Yeah. I mean, the same thing sort of happens in One Night in Miami. Like, Leslie Odom Jr. wrote a song that like Sam Cooke had nothing to do with.
Right.
So.
And they like play it over the credits, but they don't really play it in the movie because it wouldn't make sense to play a song that didn't exist at the time in a biopic in the movie.
And I think that move is specifically an awards play. Like it's like, because you can't get nominated for original song based on old songs. So they have to write something new for the movie because Beyonce did that with Listen.
No, I know. It's kind of a weird, it's like a hack. It's like, this is a movie this is a movie about music and we know that it's going to be great, but we don't have any original music in here because it's about somebody else's music. So we need to like hack our own way into this, you know? Like,
meanwhile, what movie did not get nominated for best song? Music. Music peeked its little head into the Golden Globes.
The fact that music got nominated for anything is shocking considering the response, and also the fact that Kate Hudson is willingly going around defending this movie as if like the misunderstanding, there's like a misunderstanding about the movie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Focus on athleisure, please. Let's speak to things that you know about.
And the other thing is like whether or not she's good in the movie, like it's a waste of a performance because that movie is like so bottom line offensive, like first look easy, watch the trailer, do not need to even watch the movie. Hear the responses from Sia who wrote it. Like we all know that this is like not a movie that deserves any accolades despite its performances, you know?
Well, I mean, hear the responses from Maddie Ziegler who in that interview, there's an interview with someone. I'm not sure where it was, but she was like,
defense.
Well, Maddie Ziegler was like, oh, I cried the whole, like, I spent the first day of rehearsals or shooting just like sobbing because she was like, I don't want to do this wrong. And then, but I don't think there was anyone on the set to like actually help her give this sensitive portrayal of this. So she was like, oh, fuck. Let's just not talk about award shows again until the Oscars, which will definitely be less of a disaster, right? Because this is sort of like, the Golden Globes help them figure stuff out, and the Oscars will course correct and make them less embarrassing, but also...
Oscars might have a real show is what they're hoping. They keep pushing it back like they're going to have a real show.
Well, like, if you get enough people vaccinated, you could have a red carpet. As long as there's a red carpet. Not having a pre-show, although there was a pre-show, it was just too bizarre, and I had
to
not...
So like, it was so bizarre. It was so bizarre. And, like, there's moments... I'm probably more, you know... conned by these moments than you are. You just felt uncomfortable the whole time, but I'm like, I like a moment of like looking into a celebrity's house. Like sometimes you'd get a glimpse of like where they were, you know what I mean? Like Mark Ruffalo and his wife had their kids hanging around them in the back. Like it had moments of humanity, but there was one thing that they chose to do that fully like killed me, which was when they would cut to commercial, there was like a 2-minute section or maybe a minute section where they would let the nominees talk amongst themselves in like a breakout group and we would have to see it, but it was Zoom, so it'd be like hey, oh, what are we doing, oh, are we talking, it was so terrible.
But it also took them a few commercial breaks to really figure that out, because at one point, like, I remember seeing Viola Davis, like in the one where it was the actresses, because it was like Viola Davis and her husband, and they were there with other people. I don't remember who else was there. I would just remember Viola. Yeah. She was just like very clearly did not think she was on television. And she was just sort of looking off. Because it was just like they were not briefed on this. They were not briefed on this.
You also don't know when you're – I mean, clearly they had this a system where either they sent some people cameras or they, you know, they were hooked up and like – but they didn't
send everyone good cameras. They sent like 10% of people had good cameras. Everyone else was using like their old white clamshell MacBook.
The true A-listers had good cameras. They had sent them rigs. But you could see like there was no like red light. So they didn't know when they were on TV until they saw themselves somehow on TV. I don't know how they were watching it at the same time as they were. It was just like, I can't even imagine the production, even though it was like messy. I can't imagine how hard it was to put together, to even make a semblance of a show. You gotta have some sort of respect for, like, the amount of audio sources. Imagine how many audio
and
sources.
Video sources.
To mute you and unmute.
You think of the they always cut to like the Golden Globes director or the Oscars director during the show, and it's like the guy in the control room, and it's like, this is Bill. He's been doing this for 50 years, and it's like some stressed out white guy is like pointing at cameras. It's like,
you know, it's not Bill. They brought in the big leagues. Bill didn't have this type of training.
They had to bring in some millennial, right? And because there's like 100 times as many cameras that they're like, go to this one, go to this one, go to this one. Combine these. Tell Laura Dern to do this. Like. It was unreal.
It was unreal. And then it was like, then they had the on, I'm thinking, and we're thinking of the technical, but then they had the on set people. They had the first responders. They had Tina. They had Amy here, Tina here. They had the people who came in to present who were probably there for like 5 minutes, you know, just to like say da 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 da. And then they got to get them out the door.
Are we done with the Globes? Because we can move on.
I mean, I guess my question is like, should this have just not, was this better than nothing? Because I almost feel like at this point,
I was wondering that too.
I'm not sure it was, to be honest. That too. Even though I didn't hate it, I'm like, I'm not sure it was better than nothing. I feel like they should have.
I think they needed to do it. They definitely needed to do it because it's part of the economy of Hollywood. Like, you have to give out these awards every year. You have to do these. That's why they are. That's why these movies are investments.
And why didn't they reinvent the wheel in a new way when they had the most time of anyone to maybe do that? And not reinvent the wheel, like change the entire system of how an award show works. But I mean, reinvent, not just don't make it like a Zoom. Like, how do we figure out a different and new way? And I guess it's they were just not up to the task. I don't think the Oscars are going to be up to the task either, to be honest. But like, I do think that it was what people were familiar with, but bad, when it could have been something that people weren't familiar with and maybe good.
Yeah. I mean, I almost feel rude criticizing it because like, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the solution is.
Oh, I don't know either.
Because when I'm like, oh, well, what you could have done is just had, you know, Amy Poehler and Tina Fey or whoever going up there and for an hour reading the nominees and then reading the winners and then zooming into just the winners. But then you lose the glam and you lose seeing inside people's houses, like seeing what people are like. I understand what they were trying to evoke.
You're actually right. Like, instead of having somebody come out and present something, you have Tina and Amy, who are great. Let's be real. They're good at this. They know how to do this. They already had the bit how they were split screened. That's fun. They're in two separate locations. They're working off of each other. They're mm-hmm. doing a good job. The jokes were well written. Sorry. I like laughed at a good amount of them. I know you did too.
No, that was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
And why not? You're right. Why not have it be just them almost when somebody wins, zooming them, like, you know, and then yeah. you catch them like the phone call or something that's like yeah. surprise in that way for them to get a real reaction versus them all sitting there glumly, not knowing if they're on camera. That was the problem, is like when you catch somebody who doesn't know they're on camera at the Globes, it's fun. It's funny. Like they're, mm-hmm. you know, they're all there. They know that it's fair game because they're in the room. But at home, it doesn't it felt weird to catch.
Yeah.
To have that moment. It wasn't fun.
And I understand that they were trying to, like, make it equitable to all these people and, like, give them their moments. Like, cause some of these people are never going to be nominated
totally.
Again. Some of
you're
these
right,
people
you're
are,
right.
like, whatever. Like, I understand what they were doing, but, like, yikes. You know? It was very, very weird. The Oscars can really, truly only be better than this.
Yeah, but don't hold your breath. They might even just get lucky in timing. That's what I'm saying. Like, they might not even need to deal with kind of a lot of these obstacles that... It seems like they might not need to deal with all these obstacles.
I'm sure Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson will be, you have their like single shot, even though they both had COVID. Like plenty of people in Hollywood will be back.
It'd be
vaccinated.
Great if they hosted.
Can't we get like Johnson and or Johnson to just like have a case of vaccines fall off the truck and just give them to the Oscar nominees? Like,
fall
you
off
know,
the
like...
truck. They can pay for them individually and they will.
Just pay for all of the nominees should pay extra for a Johnson & Johnson vaccine so that Johnson & Johnson vaccines can go to like hard to reach areas and actually do something good with the money. Like we need to get these people vaccinated so we can have a normal Oscars.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like they could have done that for this, but it we're almost at a point where it'd be too showy to imply that every single person yeah. like skipped the line and got a vaccine for
right.
the Globes. But
that's what ruins it ethically. But what if they
in
get
a month or
in
two, it might not be as there's more people vaccinated. It might not be unreasonable to say we're going to do every single person who's involved in this show is going to get a vaccine. Even the mm-hmm. camera operators, we're going to make sure, you know, like because technically by that point, somebody who works on a set should be eligible because they work.
I'm just like, this is the most like fucked up version of Contagion, of the Marion Cotillard subplot and Contagion, where like that one like community kidnaps her so that they can get the vaccine for all of their like the people in their like village.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is the Steven Soderbergh version of Contagion, but in real life it's like the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences like devising a way to ethically source vaccines for rich Hollywood people that will skip the line. But we need the Oscars
need
to return so that we can have
Oscars.
Normalcy.
We need to vaccinate so we can have our Oscars.
Because the Super Bowl was just like, fuck this. Everyone's coming to the stadium. Like, we don't give a shit. But now, but the Oscars are a completely different situation because they're indoors, whatever. It's just like, it's just dark all the way around.
It is dark.
Nomadland, though. We love Nomadland. Chloe won. Congrats to Chloe.
Chloe's great. That movie is fantastic.
I just can't believe we've talked about the Golden Globes for half an hour. I'm sure you're going to cut that down to like 15 minutes.
Hello, doctors. Glenn Close.
Hi there.
Hi. I'm out in Montana, and it's a big rural state, and it's been a little complicated trying to figure out how to get a vaccine. So I was wondering if you could catch me up.
In Montana, it looks like they're up to group 1B, which is person 70 years and older. Good news.
Good news? Why do you think it's good news for me? I'm 45.
We have some breaking non-Golden Globes news. Did you see this, Lindsay? I'm depressed.
Jessie J goes in.
Jessie J has a new boyfriend,
no,
and it's not
doesn't.
Channing Tatum. Jessie J started dating a dancer. I think it's someone that she actually, you know, danced for her. His name is Max Pham Nguyen, and he is like really her boyfriend. Like they're really together. And the reason it happened was I think it was the Daily Mail, posted photos of her and Max, and it says Jessie J puts on a jovial display while joking around with a male pal during lunch date in Los Angeles.
It's over.
And there are all these photos.
Jessie J went on.
I know, I'm sad. Then Jessie J goes on Instagram and writes this long caption with Max, and there are photos, like a whole carousel of photos of her and Max.
What is this caption?
It's so extra. And it says, a story was posted today. Scroll to picture 7. The article was really sweet, but the pics, yo, because they're pop pics of them, like, and she's like, I can do better.
Got me looking like an old man who owns a boat, basically Lord Farquaad's dad growing out an old haircut. Why is
Jessie J referencing Shrek in her boyfriend reveal post? I don't know, Lindsay.
Meanwhile,
I can't answer that sort of question.
She's really one of a kind. Meanwhile, Max Fam was really trying my salad that I loaded onto my fork. So Max and I thought you guys deserved some better photo options, saving you hiding in cars and bushes. Car option, silly option, park option, beach option, date night option, eating a snack option. Because no, but we did laugh a lot. P.S. He isn't my male pal.
So what she's saying is the Daily Mail use nasty pop photos. I am fucking this guy. We take a lot of photos that are much hotter than the ones that the paparazzi has. So feel free to use these in your stories.
Did she say
Shrek?
She looks like Lord Farquaad because of her haircut? She has like a short like...
She said she looked like not even Lord Farquaad, Lord Farquaad's dad. So I guess she's saying that she looks even older than Lord Farquaad. I don't know. And then on his Instagram stories, he just posted this photo of what looks like Jessie J's stainless steel fridge. And now we have a peek into Jessie J's fridge.
Wait, I'm sorry. Do you know what looks like Jessie J's fridge?
Because I think this is Jessie J's fridge because it's covered in magnets of
Jessie J photos.
Like, isn't that the most Jessie J thing to have photos of your childhood self covering your, I don't know, Sub-Zero fridge?
I mean, they're really cute photos.
But, like, she had custom magnets made of baby photos of herself for her fridge?
Maybe her mom got them for her. I don't know.
Yeah. Her mom got them for her. Or Channing got them for her.
She's so much. But I am sad because I feel like we thought her and Channing were going to get back together again. But I guess they did try it like 3 times.
She does like a dancer, though.
She loves a dancer.
Right?
Yeah.
Because never forget, Channing can dance.
What's next?
Oh, then this is stupid. Skeet Ulrich commented on Lucy Hale's post. And it's like a post of Lucy Hale like showing off her legs in a New York penthouse view. And he goes, my goodness.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, if people are going to be like up in arms about their age difference, him posting my goodness doesn't help. My goodness.
Look at those legs. My goodness.
Those gams on you. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, I mean, it is the like text equivalent of like the big bad wolf with his eyes bulging out with the tongue unrolling all the way from L.A. to New York.
I love when the tongue
Lucy
unrolls
Hale's
like
balcony.
A carpet. That's my favorite. Like, awooga, and like smoke comes out of his ears. Okay, this is big. This is big, though. We have a split that is big. A split that is notable. A split that is big. It wouldn't be Chrishell Stiles without some sort of dramatic split after dating this guy for literally 3 months.
Three months.
From Dancing with the Stars. She was dating him. He is a pro. She was on the show. It was very cute. They got together after like a misunderstanding that she was maybe dating her partner, which I still kind
she's
of like, am
like dating him.
And so she and KO dated. They went on vacation together. They flaunted their love all around town. And now they have split because apparently he's shady as fuck. According to her.
Well, according to her, he's a liar.
I know, but I'm kind of like, receipts?
I don't.
Receipts?
I'm just like, this is not, the Chrishell behavior here is just like so ridiculous that I'm like, I don't believe you.
She said, peace out to less fucks I had left. # women supporting women. # cat life for life. # JK dogs. # empowered women empowered women. Wait, empowered women, empower women.
Empower women. But what I do find kind of interesting about this is that, so she points out, what's actually sort of worth noting here and interesting about this is that, yes, it's Chrishell sort of losing it on Maine and behaving.
Losing it on
in
Maine.
In ways that, like, I wouldn't recommend anyone behave.
Does she have a publicist? I would say don't do this.
It looks like if she does, she's not answering the publicist's phone calls. So the And finally, the publicist just throws their phone away. So here's what happened. She points this out. She does this beat by beat in her Instagram stories. And she says that it begins with, "Welp, how it started." And we knew that Chrishell and KO broke up. We knew that that was over. And the anonymous source says,
she took a screenshot of a celebrity news site that said something about her and tweeted it and said, or Instagram storied it and said, "Welp, how it started." Will you read what it
says?
Well,
this is, well, yeah, but the thing is, she started by showing that the original reporting was a source saying that it was mutual. So the source says they had a fun time together, but in the end decided that it would be best if they could part ways. They are still friendly and cordial. It wasn't a messy breakup, just wasn't the right fit or right timing.
Then,
and so she goes, this is how it started. Then she goes, how it's going. And it's a People source that says, KO is heartbroken. He enjoyed his time with Chrishell and was 100% in it. He's had a tough time with his mom's passing, but he really wanted to make his relationship with Chrishell last. So this source is implying that it was Chrishell who ended it, not KO. Okay,
then she wrote,
Chrishell adds to this.
On her story.
I truly wanted to keep this drama free, but playing the victim and bringing your mom into it is a step too far for me. Taking the high road is overrated sometimes. I was also 100% in it as well, until revelations told to me recently have made me question if you could even order a coffee without lying. Okay, so immediately after this happens, Lindsay and I are texting at this. We're like, oh my God.
This is messy shit.
Also, Chrishell, my gut is the same as Lindsay's gut, which is that, Chrishell, these are sources. Quit taking these sources seriously. So apparently other people have this idea. So
well,
they start,
I mean, I do.
DMing,
I actually
Chrishell.
Do think, okay, just one second though. I do think that these sources are, I take these sources. She's more questioning the angling. Cause she's like, oh, now you're like having your, now you're, whatever, the, whoever this source is, who I think is real, cause obviously it's coming from his camp, is framing it a way that she felt that it shouldn't have been framed. But I also feel like she maybe took this too personally, when obviously if she's going to put stuff out there, he's going to put stuff out there too. If she's going to say something, he's going to say something, you know? And he didn't say anything bad. Yes. He just said, oh, he's so bummed. He really enjoyed it. He was in it. She's saying, this implies I was not in it 100%.
Yeah.
Which
and
it
so,
doesn't. It implies, it doesn't imply that. Sorry.
It kind of doesn't imply anything, because it's just publicists speak. It's like white noise.
Wait,
it's almost
played,
like white noise. Like, it doesn't say anything.
She played
so,
Beautiful
but
Liar.
Is,
sorry, on this story, she played put Beautiful Liar by Beyonce.
By Shakira. And Beyonce,
under
She said, how to break free from habitual lying. But then what happened, when the way that the story devolves even further, is because she posted screenshots from her DMs from presumed normies who were saying, I know you're upset, but this isn't from his own mouth. Who knows who this person is, meaning the source, and if this is an accurate representation of his feelings. And Chrishell goes, I gathered all the facts before I posted. Don't worry. I know exactly where it came from. So it's like the Whisper Network.
Well, these are her fans who are responding to her and saying, like, chill the fuck out.
And she's saying, I will not chill.
Well, then someone said, I think you're too mature for all this. It's best to ignore. This comes off as childish. And that person, like, I agree with that. Like, whether or not this quote does not misrepresent you in any way. This is how tabloids work. This is not misrepresenting you. And she wrote, I am aware. If I end up alone with cats, it was worth it. Ugh, I hate that stereotype. Yeah. But I am also human and not a robot. When you are the blank in the breakup,
I don't know why they censored it.
When you are the censored ass, when you're the ass, I don't know, when you're the blank in the breakup and the other person tries to let you save face and take the high road publicly, probably best not to poke a bear holding receipts. I will try to be a better person tomorrow. Today wasn't the day. I'm a little confused at this one. So when you are, she's calling him the dick. I think it's dick. When you are the dick in the breakup.
Well, what she's saying is, I was trying to make this seem like it was a mutual decision so that we could both be saved. And meanwhile, his camp goes behind my back and sort of indirectly blames it on me.
But they didn't.
I agree with that. I don't think that
she's
they did anything.
She's literally misreading it. They're saying he is bummed. He enjoyed his time. He was in it. And he's had a tough time with his mom's passing, but he wanted to. His mom died. He's had a tough time with his mom's passing, but he wanted to make his relationship with Chrishell last. How is that going against what? I'm so confused as this.
She's reading into things because she's obviously been hurt by this person or thinks that this person did something wrong, you know?
I guess there's a difference between us not knowing what happened and whether whatever, and the way that it's in the press. So, like, I think that she's wrong in her interpretation, even if behind the scenes there was something that went on that was messed up, that she's now saying, oh, well, he has no right to say anything at all. And it's like, well, then maybe you shouldn't have said it was mutual. Maybe you should have told the truth. You're a liar, too.
It seems like rude to say, like, you're overreacting, you're being dramatic. But the reason I feel comfortable saying you're overreacting here is because when I read, as people who read this gossip shit all the time and source quotes, anonymous source quotes all the time, this was so standard to the point of, like, it being completely unnotable. You know,
I'm just
like,
so confused. It's like he's, like, playing the victim. He's not playing the victim. Like, he didn't blame you. He just, quote says that he had a great time, but they broke up. There's no victim blaming. There's no victim here.
It seems, she does not need to be in high profile relationships is kind of how I'm reading this. I don't think she's equipped to handle this sort of gossip, and few people, I wouldn't be, you know, like it seems like it sucks and she doesn't have whatever like chromosome that a lot of celebrities have where they can just listen to this and deal with
it. Okay, but I don't also think that part of me is like, that. I love it. She's messy. Yes, keep posting on Maine. We stan you, Chrishell. Yes, we love it.
Yeah, but it does. It just seems like her. This sort of posting is doing the opposite of what she thought the sort of posting would
do. Oh, I'm sure it's not great for her. It's just great for me.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. We got new boots and I'm so thrilled. They're Tecova's boots. And you know why I'm so excited about getting Tecova's boots and why I was so happy to get mine in the mail? Because the girlies from Potomac went to the Tecova store in the most recent season of Real Housewives of Potomac. And I was like, if Robin and Karen have Tecovas, I want Tecovas.
Well, I have a good reason too, because I've been doing a bunch of line dancing and I didn't have any cowboy boots. And so I got my Tecovas. And let me tell you, the difference it makes to be dancing in cowboy boots, huge.
On the line dancing huge floor. Difference. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. So you can really smack the floor and swing around. You need cowboy boots.
Yeah, I didn't get cowboy boots. I got Chelsea boots, but they're great. They're brown.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see them.
They're just, I like taking them on and off. They're so lovely. They're kind of a beautiful leather. They're beautiful leather.
Well, they're bringing a fresh perspective to heritage bootmaking. They've carried forward all the time-honored traditions and quality you find in a great pair of cowboy boots, but they've innovated on comfort, style, and service. It's true, because cowboy boots can be a little bit hard to break in.
Yep.
You know? Yep. Mine, I was swinging around, no pain.
No pain. And Tecova's is Western to their core. They offer a bunch of other head-to-toe Western staples like trucker jackets, the perfect jeans, performance pearl snaps, cowboy hats, bandanas, you name it. They'll get you outfitted. They believe in Western for all. And you can feel that when you go into their stores. When you walk in, you'll be greeted like family. I saw them do it to the girlies from the Real House of Potomac. It seemed like they were being greeted like family. You'll be offered a boot shine and a drink. Yes, even the hard stuff if you prefer. And you can get custom fitted for a new pair of boots. But if you can't make it into a store, Tecova's delivers the most premium quality and the most comfortable Western goods right to your door. Visit tecovas.com, that's tecovas.com, and point your toes west. Kyle Newman. Jamie King, you may remember.
This is drama.
And this is like very easy math. I love when math is easy. Jamie King's estranged husband, Kyle Newman, welcomes surprise baby with girlfriend Sin, .. 9 months after King filed for divorce.
So we didn't cover when this divorce happened, but it was messy. And it was very...
It was speedy, speedy, speedy.
It was speedy and it was messy. This is sudden. Jamie King, the model who used to go by James. She was like an It Girl model. And then she was on my favorite show, Heart of Dixie, and in various things.
She also used to go by Taylor Swift's best friend.
She still maybe is Taylor Swift's best friend, TBD. We're unsure. But her and her husband got a divorce and it seemed kind of nasty. I think there was a restraining order involved. Something not great. And It just didn't feel fun to cover. I was like, okay, fine, they're getting divorced. Maybe something else will happen, whatever. And this is what happened. Literally the reveal of maybe why this happened. Okay, let's be real. Why it happened is Kyle has a baby. A baby is born. Mm-hmm. A baby is born.
Yeah, you're right. There were restraining orders involved. It was not
Yes.
It was not pleasant to talk about or think about, but now he has welcomed a child with this singer named Sin, which is a perfect two name.
Sin
as in Cynthia, C-Y-N.
As in the original.
As in the original. So as in Sin. Sin is now the mother of his child, and I think the mom's name is, the baby's name is Etienne.
Uh-huh.
And Sin is best known for being a singer who was signed to Katy Perry's record label. Did you know Katy Perry has a record label? Because Sin is signed to
it. Like her own record label, not the same one.
Yeah, no, Katy Perry started a record label to like bring
up. So Sin is to Katy Perry as Chloe and Halle is to Beyonce.
Are to Beyonce, yes. Except, you know,
I've never heard of Sin.
I feel like Sin is several levels below.
Except I've never heard of Sin. Right, I know. And it seems like Kyle Newman, who's known for directing music videos for Taylor Swift, Lana Del Rey, blah blah blah, seems like he may not be getting these gigs anymore. Ooh.
Also, Sin has a song in Promising Young Woman called like "Uh-oh" or something that didn't get nominated for a Golden Globe. I got a bad habit and I can't pretend. Uh-oh, if it happened to you, what would you do? All of her music sounds like this. All of her music sort of sounds like American Eagle. Like, it sounds like you're in a mall.
I just got to the Instagram caption that she wrote 1 week ago. This is...
Oop. A pandemic hit and I met my soulmate. Happy Valentine's Day to my sweetheart. It's like a pandemic hit and you met a married man.
God. Oop, a pandemic hit and I met my soulmate.
I mean, it's almost like you gotta respect this person for just like completely like acting like nothing happened. Like you just met this guy on the street and we're like, oh, you seem perfect.
You fell into this man, right?
It's just like knowing what we know about the divorce between Jamie King and Kyle Newman and how really fucked up it was makes this caption seem so strange. This is more amusing. So Kodak Black is, speaking of engagements or new relationships or like fast moving relationships, which is happening a lot in quarantine, Kodak Black is now engaged to another rapper named Mellow Rax, and he proposed to her with an airplane message.
Wait, it's and so the airplane cute message,
the airplane message that flew over them says, might as well marry me, Melody. I love you.
I think that is so funny.
It's really cute. Because
if you said it's fast, like they just got together, it's cute because it's like we already hang out a lot. Might as well marry me.
Might as well.
That's so cute. They already got tattoos of each other's names. Quick.
Well, and I think those are real, because what tattoo are we just talking about that we weren't sure if the tattoo was fake or not? I think these are real because they look like Ray's, like they look kind of brand new, and they have their full names. Because his real name is Bill.
His real name is Bill and her real name is Melody.
So now she has a Bill on her face and he has a Melody on his neck. And I think they're real.
That's a big Bill.
It's a big Bill. It's a big Bill, like, on her right
and
jaw.
And it's red? Wait, funny. Kodak Black was born Deucen Octave, but legally changed his name to Bill, K. Capri, in 2018, but also goes by Kodak Black. He changed his name to Bill?
I like that. I like taking ownership of your name.
I do like
change
when
it if
you're,
you want to.
He's like, it's Kodak Black, but he's like, just call me Bill. Like, that's funny. That is funny because it's the most just call me name, you know, that you weren't expecting.
Just call me Joe. No, the most just call me name is Joe, not Bill.
Right.
Joe. Just call me Joe.
And it's funny because, wait, you have this here that on Valentine's Day, he said that he loves JT from City Girls.
He sang a song. He like wrote a song about JT from City Girls and sang it on his Instagram. And she was like, I didn't ask for this.
Say in your spine, you can feel the rush. JT, you know I like to make you nut, baby. I'ma need a blunt for this. Say crack the Dutch, chewy. Even though I'm too young for this, I'll eat your butt, your booty.
He's like constantly shooting his shot with like other women, and that's why the thing about Might As Well Marry Me is even funnier, because he's just sort of like, he just got out of prison because Trump pardoned him. So I think he's kind of on one.
Wait,
he's
Trump pardoned Kodak Black?
Trump pardoned Kodak Black. Yes.
Wow, that got
that
buried.
That was in, like, when Trump pardoned like 1 million people right before he left office, Kodak Black was one of them. And so Kodak Black got out and he started like releasing music,
Why?
Recording music, and he started being
falsifying
a big presence
information on federal forms to buy firearms in Miami on two separate occasions.
Mm-hmm. So Trump pardoned him, and I was listening to the song that came out after he got out, and there's a line in the song where he literally says, "Trump just pardoned me, but my favorite president is on money." So it's sort of like, don't act like I like this guy just because he pardoned me, which I think is a reasonable thing to say after Trump pardons
you.
Wait,
sorry, this is so weird, but further down the dock, I didn't realize it was connected, but JT from City Girls comes up again because people think she's engaged to Lil Uzi Vert, who we just talked about with the diamond in his head.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So,
and she might be, but she's not engaged to Kodak Black.
So Kodak Black, who was recently like writing songs for JT from City Girls, mm-hmm. is engaged to this other woman whose name is Melody. And JT mm-hmm. from City Girls is maybe engaged to Lil Uzi Vert because
maybe.
There were deleted tweets that implied that.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Got it. All right. Okay. Got it. Wow. Okay, great.
And also, the other thing that's going on with Kodak Black is ever since he got out of prison, people started, and this is really stupid, this is another one of those things like viral tweets gone awry, where it's like a few people said like, he looks different, he sounds different, I think he must be a clone, which is clearly like a joke.
But he's like, stop calling me a clone. I'm not a clone.
He's like, please stop calling me a clone.
All my other little bits, whenever this little clone shit came out, I wasn't really tripping on them, but now y'all blowing me now. How the fuck it can't be them other? A nigga can't motherfucking duplicate this shit.
So it's getting headlines like, Kodak Black speaks on everybody calling him a clone.
I mean, people think that Avril Lavigne literally died and was replaced by a new woman, so she hasn't said anything about that. And he's like, stop calling me a clone.
He literally says in the video, all this clone shit is starting to make me mad.
Also, if you were a clone, wouldn't you look the exact same? Isn't the problem that he doesn't look the exact same? A clone would be like multiplicity. You wouldn't be able to tell a difference.
God, multiplicity. Let's not talk about multiplicity again. Let's talk about Blue.
So this headline, if you just read it face value, even with my knowledge of celebrities, is inexplicable. And I actually sent it to Bobby and was like, what does this mean to you? It says, Daddy's Girl. Blue's Lee Ryan reveals he is expecting a baby girl with pregnant girlfriend Verity Paris. And you're like,
there's
okay.
another Paris?
Well, I was like, this is a start. This is definitely something because I don't know either of these people. And also, what is Blue? You know, like Blue's Lee Ryan. So when you get into it, the article doesn't actually tell you what Blue is. It assumes you know, which is hilarious. It's a boy band. Bobby knew it because it's a reference from Love Actually, which is the funniest version of the funniest part of this entire thing.
I was like, oh yeah, that's the band that Bill Nighy writes We've Got Little Pricks above. And Lindsay was like, what? And I had to send a screenshot of We've Got Little Pricks written on Blue. I was like, the only reason I know what Blue is.
Hi there and welcome back. So Billy, 3 weeks till Christmas. Looks like the real competition is going to be Blue.
Yeah, I saw them on the show last week. They weren't very nice about my record.
No, little scamps.
But very, very talented musicians.
Yeah. Billy, I understand you've got a prize for our competition winners.
Yes, I have, Antor Deck. It's a personalised felt-tip pen.
Oh, great.
It's brilliant. It even writes on glass. So if you've got a framed picture, like, for instance, this one of Blue, mm-hmm. you can just write on it.
And even funnier is before they even imply what Blue is in this article, it says Lee already has a daughter, Bluebell, 13, with Jessica Keevil, and son Rain, 12, with ex-fiance Samantha Miller. Now Lee has opened up about his latest baby news to Hello, the tabloid, revealing he's expecting a daughter with Verity, comma, who is an Ariana Grande impersonator. Now I'm in. Now I'm fully in. So this guy who was in a boy band called Blue, that actually was a relatively big boy band in the UK. Not big, but they have a few number one hits. And they did a song with Elton John,
mm-hmm.
Which was an Elton John song. They did a duet with him. he's having a baby with an Ariana Grande impersonator,
and
is also a reality star because she was on The X Factor and Celebrities Go Dating or whatever. They also had dalliances with Eurovision. They entered Eurovision with the song I Can in 2011.
You gotta play a clip of that. You gotta play a clip of I Can.
They also did a cover of Get Down On It by Kool and the Gang, which is horrendous. I gotta play some of that. How you gotta do it if you really don't wanna dance? By standing on the wall. Get your back up off the wall. Tell me, how you gonna do it if you really don't wanna dance? By standing on the wall. Get your back up off the wall. Cause I heard all my people saying, number one hits, and they were featured in Love Actually for all time. And the other day, 46 weeks ago, this guy posted an Instagram, and it's him just looking up in the sky like I'm thinking, and it says, if dolphins speak to each other, do they have different accents depending on where they come from?
It's a good question.
He wants to know.
Let's talk about Verity, because she's fascinating. An Ariana Grande impersonator. Well, the thing about an Ariana Grande impersonator is you would expect that person to either look like or sound like Ariana Grande. And Verity Paris does neither. Verity Paris is a very accomplished singer and looks like a star, but she doesn't look or sound like Ariana Grande, which I feel like is a problem.
What I'm looking for in an impersonator, okay, a celebrity impersonator, if they don't sound like the person and it's a singer, I want a drag queen. Do you know what I mean? But if I'm looking for somebody who sounds like the singer, then you have to really sound like the singer and be the full package. And that's what she claims to be, although Bobby is arguing that that is not the case.
She doesn't. I mean, she looks like a Bella twin. She doesn't look like Ariana Grande. And she sounds like a pussycat doll. So that's my problem with Verity Paris.
Right.
An Ariana Grande impersonator.
It's like, she sing Ariana Grande songs? Yes. Of course. Does she sound like Ariana Grande? No.
No. No one's being fooled by Verity Paris.
Is being fooled. This is quite the gig. She also apparently can do Lady Gaga, Jessie J, Christina Aguilera, and Ariana Grande. Lady Gaga, Jessie J, Christina Aguilera, and Ariana Grande.
Using her definition, so could I. You know? Moving on, a feud was ended? Lindsay, a feud was ended?
Yeah, Keisha Cole and K. Michelle are no longer feuding.
They've been fighting
feuding
for so long.
Well, it's funny because they ended their feud on Clubhouse.
I feel like Clubhouse is where you start feuds. I've never heard of a feud ending on Clubhouse.
Well, this is the first one. K. Michelle tweeted, so less than a Clubhouse is a great moment for culture. Okay, I'm sorry, but ending your feud with Keisha Cole is funny to call it a great moment in culture.
It is.
Me and Keisha Cole squashed any little misunderstandings we had like adults and sang songs together all night. Y'all might even see a joint EP. Okay.
And then she says, I'm just all about positivity and making great music with some great people. She's two of those three things. I mean, if she's all about positivity, that just started. But as K. Michelle fans, like, come on. But I'm glad that this happened.
I guess like they had beef in 2020. They had beef recently. It was in November.
They had beef. It was like right around Thanksgiving. Yeah, it
Keisha Cole said, gotta watch these industry people. Some of them are fake as fuck. For real. and most have an agenda. I'm actually mm-hmm. happy to hit my 40s soon. I can see shit clear as day now. Mm-hmm. And then Kate Michelle said, well, she responded on her own, but not directly, she said, but you the fakest one. I laugh. And then she wrote, wow, just minding my own business, typing song lyrics. The world we live in is a sad place. I'm not talking about anyone. Stop forcing a beef. It's played. But you are now saying it was a beef because you're saying the beef was squashed, so there was a beef.
Yeah. So, well, but we don't know if that beef...
We do.
If that beef was because of a misunderstanding or if it was based on something real, but we can assume that it was based on something real.
If she's saying the beef was squashed, then there was beef. You can't say the beef was squashed if there's no beef to begin with. It's like the laws of physics, you know, like you just can't, like the beef had to exist.
I'm just like, congrats to anyone who can spend more than like 90 seconds on Clubhouse, let alone squash beefs on Clubhouse. I find Clubhouse to be the most like anxiety inducing place. It sounds, it's too intimate. It's too intimate.
Everyone's just fucking talking. It's like so dangerous. You could say anything. Like it's dangerous. You could just squash beef and not even mean to, you know?
Speaking of name changes, Kodak changed his name from Deucin to Bill to then Kodak creatively, professionally. Ned Rock'n'Roll, who had one of the most iconic names in the Hooniverse, has changed his name.
I'm bummed.
Me too.
He was Ned Rock'n'Roll for so long.
Now what is it? What did he change it to? Something boring.
It's Edward Wolf Winslet Abel Smith, because he wanted to have the same last name as his kid, because mm-hmm. his son is named Bear Blaze Winslet, never forget, and he wanted to include the family name shared by his wife and son. This gossip columnist said, sounds like he's maturing. It's like, yeah, he changed his name from fucking Ned Rock and Roll
to Edward Wolf, Smith
Wolf Winslet, because I think Ned and Ed are the same, so like he was Edward Rock and Roll, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So now he's Ned Wolf Winslet Abel Smith. So he's technically like Ned Smith. Oh, that's terrible. He's Ned Smith.
That's so Ned. Bad.
Isn't he, what's his face's nephew? He is. The Virgin.
Yeah, Richard Branson. Richard Branson's
nephew. Branson. Wait, there's another fun name thing. Mandy Moore's kid is named This Is Gus. NBC named Mandy Moore's kid.
I cannot believe her kid's name is Gus.
She's, I guess, a them, so I guess, like, whatever. But it is funny that she named her kid Gus, as in, this is Gus. This is Gus.
This is Gus. Well, it's August. August is...
I get it. I like that name. Yeah, and her ex, cute. Her famous ex, Wilmer Valderrama, also had a kid this week. The same week that she had a kid. Or around mm-hmm. the same time. Maybe. I don't know when anyone gave birth. Okay, time for Rita. Let's do Rita.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
Rita Ora is... still living, you know, a wonderful life in Australia. She's out of quarantine. She's on the beach.
She is never coming back. And not only is she never coming back, even though she probably doesn't want more attention given to the fact that she is there, she has to be written about because she has to promote this free apartment she's staying in, or else she doesn't get it for free, I think. Think about it.
Maybe. Maybe.
Do you think there was a conversation where it was like, we really should not have an article that's like inside Rita Ora's $30,000 a week luxury hideaway in Sydney. And yet the hideaway was like, actually, you do have to do that because you do have to pay your bill. And that is going to be getting me into the Daily Mail, which they mm-hmm. did.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the Voice is paying part of the bill, but you don't talk about this shit unless it's like required a little bit, you know?
I'm sorry. It's a whole article inside Rita Ora's $30,000 a week luxury hideaway in Sydney features a gym in Harbour Views as she begins filming The Voice Australia. This is paid for, signed, sealed, and delivered. This is free for Spawn.
It's a beautiful home.
I just think the thing is like they're not the luxury apartment market. There are only certain ways to like advertise that. It's not the same as like going on Airbnb, I think. I think like this is like the best advertisement for that is getting a situation like this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
But when she's not in her apartment, she's out on the beach in maybe one of the ugliest swimsuits I've ever seen.
Body on ugly. Her, Rita. Rita Ora shows off her stunning figure in a daring thong swimsuit. I said to Bobby, if a swimsuit looks bad on Rita Ora, it's the ugliest swimsuit of all time, because she can make a piece of fabric look good, and this does not look good.
It's ugly.
So, but there are a million articles about Rita Ora in the bathing suit in Australia, because literally what she's doing is going to the beach, going back, mm-hmm, going to the mm-hmm. beach, going back. So we're getting a lot of those articles. She shows off her incredible figure in a very racy pink swimsuit as she enjoys a quick dip. That's where the bathing suit that we're not a big fan of. Mm-hmm. She also felt musically isolated in lockdown. Oh, okay.
Well, that because she's releasing a 3-part making of Bang EP on YouTube.
What?
And the first part revealed that she felt musically isolated in lockdown.
You know, those songs are still hitting it for me, though, so I can't really say that I'm not going to watch this behind the scenes, because I really am enjoying the music, and it sounds great in my car.
Big is a great song. It's all good, but Big is a great song.
Big is
gotta
a great
say.
Song.
It's great.
When she says medulla oblongata, do you freak?
Yeah, yes.
When Rita says medulla oblongata, I'm like, shit. Eat the head like medulla oblongata.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Who Weekly. We're done. Call in at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns, and we may address your calls on a future episode of Who's There. Also, support us on patreon.com/WHOWEEKLY for twice weekly bonus episodes. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We love your ratings and reviewings. And thanks to Katie and Eric for the Rita Ora theme song. Bye.
Bye.
You will trailer. Yeah. Yeah.
They want to know. To be famous.
Today's episode of Who Weekly was brought to you by the CW. Watch new episodes of Superman and Lois on Tuesdays at 9/8 Central, or stream free next day on the CW app.